Hi guys, are you ready to have a good time tonight? Doesn't sound like many people are ready to have a good time tonight.
Yes, we are. Come on,
yay, there's one person. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Okay, do you remember a few weeks ago what James spoke about? Oh, here's a real test, eh, James? Who remembers what James spoke about like 2 weeks ago? Anybody?
Jesus.
Huh? Andrew does. Okay, awesome. Okay. Who remembers what Andrew spoke about last week, a bit earlier, a bit, you know, like sooner? Anybody last week that was around when Andy, do you remember?
Donna? Four temperaments.
Yes. And about, about being a helper and all that, eh? And all that. Okay. Well, I'm just going to quickly just scan over what they did, and then I'm building on that tonight. And then, yeah. So, just want to recap before we carry on James, right? So James started off, and he was like, spoke about the domains of leadership, and he had this, all these like boards out here all the way along. And he started right at that end, and he like went right through the Bible with every single, virtually every single, impactful leader. And, right through talking about domains of leadership, eh? And their areas of, you know, were they leaders? Were they, was it leadership that they used to impact people with? Was it their power, like Elijah the prophet? Or like David as a leader, or was it just people that just had influence, or maybe they had two or three or whatever, and he went to all those guys. And then, yeah, and I think what James was saying is, listen, you know what, irrespective, and then he went through the strengths. He had this book, and he had all the strengths written, like, I don't know about, 34, they're 34, and he had them all written down there. And he spoke about this book, Strength Finders. And what he was actually saying is that everyone is unique. That doesn't matter what, you know, kind of giftings you have, and everybody has specific amazing giftings. But doesn't matter what they are, that you can have an impact, and you can be a world changer, and you can impact and influence the world around you like these leaders impacted the world around them, and they influenced their sphere of influence was seriously impacted through their lives. And so James is saying, hey, listen, you know what, doesn't matter, you are unique, you've got amazing strengths, and you can impact your city, your nation, and the world the way that these people did. Then Andy came along, and he said last week he was saying that the question, he said, like, where do you fit in? And there's so many boxes, and people like to maybe slot into certain boxes, but that's very, very restrictive. And that the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. We don't have to be restricted by anything. We free, we can do anything. And he spoke about the strengths again, and he mentioned that there were four categories in the strengths where certain people's strengths will complement strategic thinking. They'll be like really analytical and strategic thinking. Or they'll have influence, or relationship building, or ability to execute stuff. So there were four major areas. Great leaders have a strength in each of those areas out of the top five strengths. And so he spoke about Philip, and you know about how Philip went down. He did a whole lot of stuff and amazingly impacted the area. But the moment the apostles came, he moved on because he knew his area of influence, his giftings, and what God wanted him to do. He was fully aware of what his limitations were, what his giftings were, and when it was time to make room for other guys to come and take it further. And what Andy said was that whatever our strengths are, whatever our needs are, they'll only be perfectly played out in team, in community, and in serving, asking the question, how can I help? I think that is the big question. How can I help? And the question to ask is, what is the priority of heaven in whatever we're doing? What is the heaven? What is heaven's priority? And then he spoke about receiving a prophet. If you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. It's like tonight. If you receive me for who I am and what I have tonight and what I'm bringing, then you'll be rewarded tonight. So that was basically Andy in terms of our ability to impact the world around us, different kinds of leadership styles and so forth. And then tonight, okay, tonight is me. And the question is, where am I going to take you tonight? Okay, I'm going to take you a little bit further. So in doing that, we're going to go to Ephesians 2, verse 10. We're going to read that, and we're going to read Acts 17, 26 to 28. Like whatever I'm talking on or preaching on, I like to use scripture as a basis, as a foundation. So Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, to do good work. Oh, sorry, I forgot about this. I'm not really used to this, and I've got to try and hold it at the right distance and everything. So I prefer to do it without this, but Jamie said I have to. So anyway, so okay, Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says we are God's workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then in Acts 17, 26 to 28. Okay, it says, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So I really want to just base what I have to say tonight on those two scriptures. So first you're just looking at Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, we are God's workmanship. Okay, so that means that we were fashioned and created by God the Father. We are workmanship. We're not just clones. We haven't just been molded and, you know, come out like tin soldiers, but we have been handcrafted by God. We're his workmanship. Okay. That's the first thing. So we're unique, we're handmade. We'll go into that in more detail. The next thing it says is that we're a new creation, and we were created to do good works. That's why we were recreated. We were created to do good works. And so that's the second thing. We're unique, we were created to do good works. And then on from there it says, and he prepared in advance those works for us to do. So before time, God prepared what he felt we would be amazingly good at right now. What he felt we'd have good impact in, and that we using our giftings and complementing who we are. God prepared before time. He prepared those works in advance. So we're unique. We've been handcrafted. We were created to do good works, and God prepared those works in advance for us to do. Okay, now I'm going to link that to the second scripture I've read. Because this second scripture is absolutely one of the most amazing scriptures, okay? It says that, and he determined the times set for them. That's for every man. And the exact places where they should live. God did this so that man would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So what God is saying here is it says here that he determined this exact generation for Lisa. Okay, that she be born this generation, not a generation ago, not a generation to come, but now. It says that he also determined that she would live here in this area. Okay? Exactly where she lives now, God determined the time and the place. And why did he do that? It says that so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. So he put us here in this place, in this generation, in this city, so that we could be an instrument to influence people so that they would, through us, somehow reach out to him. And I think that is really just absolutely stunning. And then it goes on to say something here. We know the scripture. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. So we don't have to. It says here, we already live and move in him. And have we don't have to try and crank ourselves up and be somebody to try and be part of what God is doing. And, you know, oh, I just really want to. No, it says we already live and we already move and have our being in him. It means just as naturally as every breath we take, whatever we do, naturally, just as naturally, we live and move and have our being in him. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We don't have to char. Not a supernatural crank up. We live and move and we actually have our being in God. We can't help it. We might not realize it. We might not recognize it, but that is the case. We are in God and we are living and moving in him. And everything we do has been planned by God before the world began. Okay, so I love that. I think it's awesome. It's very impactful for me personally. Right, so that's where I'm going tonight. I'm going to be just focusing on that a little bit. So we're not defined by our momentary difficulties or our difficult circumstances, but we rather are defined by a loving dad who, long before we were born, he spoke his destiny over us through the power of the cross. Not only that, but he dreamed about each single one of us long before any of us were born, or the world is even formed. And he had a specific dream pattern for each one of us. And he moped over, well, I wouldn't say mope, He got excited about his dream of us. Okay. And he worked to ensure that dream, that pattern, that he dreamed about. Every gift, every dream, everything that you would do, God placed dreams in your heart. He gave you the giftings and the ability, and the passion to do all the things that he planned in advance for us to do. And so, Rob, sitting here tonight, you God's dream come true. You know, he dreamed about you and He just really did everything to bring that dream into reality. And so you are his dream come true. As you sit here right now, you are living and moving and having your being in God, who dreamed about you and purposed you and created you. You handcrafted and going back zillions of years, okay, before time even began, God had you in mind. And for this generation, for this place, for this time, with the giftings you have, and exactly who you are, that, and the dreams you have in your heart, for every season, God placed them there, and God made his dream come true. And so we're not subject to our difficulties and circumstances, but we are subject to the destiny of a loving Father. He's spoken an eternal destiny over us through his creation, how he's created us through the cross, and our destiny is in our Father, in our loving Dad, and everything that he's planned and purposed for us. Are you okay, guys? Are you? It's okay. Yeah, we're not clones. Eh? We are really, really just very unique. Eh? Every single one of us, absolutely unique. So tonight, I think I want to highlight a number of things through the scripture and stuff. So the first thing is, you are unique. There's no one just like you. And that is the truth. Okay, whatever anyone else is telling you is a lie. Because that is the truth. God fashioned you in that way. The second thing I want to highlight is that you have certain giftings and certain areas of favor in your life, okay? Like, I'm sure a lot of people have come up to you in the past and said, like, I don't know how you do that. How, you know, Nita, how do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, just like, you just do it so naturally. And it's like, well, it's not a problem for me. It's like easy for me to do, okay? That is because you've got areas of favor in your life, okay? Where you can just do things naturally without even bothering about them, because actually it comes naturally to you because you're gifted in those areas. And then there can be other things that are really hard for you to do. And I want to say that it's probably better for you not to try and improve on the things that you don't do well, okay? Who don't try and be who you're not, because a lot of people live their lives trying to be who they're not rather than who God made them to be. And the third thing is that we need to work in team to maximize who God's made us to be. If we really want to fulfill God's destiny over us to the maximum, the best thing that we can do is recognize what our giftings are, what our strengths are, and work in team. That's what God designed us for, to work together. We need one another. We can see how that works in the church. That also works naturally in the world. It works like that everywhere. Okay? That we need one another. And that's the way that God's created us. So that we work in team together. I don't try and be somebody that I'm not. And the other members of the team have the strength that I lack. They can do the things that I don't have favor to do. The fourth thing is that God prepared stuff in advance for us to do. You know, so, you know, I think a church that is very founded in the grace message, that sometimes we lack the ability to perceive that faith is an action, you know. It's like, gimme, 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 okay? But when it comes to imparting and allowing that life to flow through us, I think a lot of people, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I think a lot of people feel that they've got a reason to cop out because this is grace and we can just go with the flow and we can, yes, you can, but actually you're going to miss out on what God's prepared for you in advance to do. You're going to miss out on having a huge impact. You're going to miss out on the inheritance that God has for you in terms of the people that he wants you to impact. He wants you to reach those people because not just because it's a priority of heaven, but because actually there's an inheritance that's tied up in your ability to see people and influence them and let your life and your area of influence impact their lives and bring them into relationship with God, because it also brings them into your inheritance. They will be part of your inheritance when we're with God. And so, I mean, He placed us here, this generation, this time, because he wants us to, and he prepared us. He's prepared the stuff in advance because he wants us to have a maximum impact in our sphere of influence, wherever we are, in our workplace, teaching, meeting other moms with our kids, whatever it might be, God wants us to have maximum impact. And we need to ask ourselves, wherever we are, because we live and move and have our being in heaven, the question we need to ask is, what is the priority of heaven in our lives? Every day we need to ask, today, I can do this, okay, because it suits me, or I can do this because it's a priority of heaven. Okay. And it's difficult because a lot of the time we got our to-do list every day and we get sidetracked. You know, everybody does. But I think we need to put our spiritual glasses on every day and ask that question. How can I help? Andy said last week. You know, what is God's priority? What is the priority of heaven? It's not just about me, but it's about me living for eternity and impacting people's lives around me. And then fifthly, to bring to mind the fact that the enemy is always doing his best to stop us from and cause us to become discouraged, immobile, apathetic, and ineffective. Because he doesn't want us to have impact. He doesn't want us to have an inheritance. He doesn't want the people around us to have lives positively impacted with the life of God. So he is doing everything in his power to block us wherever, discourage us wherever possible. So, okay, those are the five areas. So I just felt, having said that, the last one is really very important. And I think most of the time, it's not that we don't want to do stuff. It's just that circumstances and things around us kind of take our focus off. And it's not intentional. It's like almost as a default mode to actually get sucked into the situation and to get focused on the problem rather than focused on the purposes of God. So I just want to look at some things and some reasons why we get stuck and why we get jammed up. We all want to. We all understand what I'm saying, but we kind of get jammed up. So I think the first thing is to say, why are we doing the things that we're doing? Why are we doing it? Like our work, or is it for money? It's a good question to ask, because I think most of the people will say, yeah, it's for that, or it's to provide for my kids, or it's whatever. But actually, we need to just talk about three important things. Okay, the first thing is that there's a big why as to why we do things, okay? And the big why is linked to these things here, which are called our primary needs, okay? These are our needs. And the reason why we do whatever we do, starting from the inside circle, that is the big why, okay? What we do on the outside here is only because we are trying to fulfill, or we need to fulfill, one of these needs, okay? And I'm not going to go into them. I think I just wanted to paint a very broad picture for you tonight, okay? The first need is certainty. We know what that is. We need certainty in life. So, you know, we need a roof over our head, water, whatever. Variety, significance, connection. These four are, they are absolutely essential to survival. If we don't have these four, we actually can't survive. They really are primary. Then you've got growth, love, and contribution. And for each one of us, we fulfill all these needs generally through two primary needs. Two of these are very strong in our lives. And we will fulfill the rest of those needs through those two. So, and then you have two of those needs that are amazingly powerful, and they will fulfill every single other need. And that is love and contribution. What do I mean? Okay, so if you look at a life like Sister Teresa, okay, if you look at her life, she might not have had a huge amount of revelation. Maybe she did. She definitely had an experience with God. But I would say we have a lot more revelation than she ever had. But what she did was she decided to give her life. And she just loved the poor, and she contributed to their lives. Love and contribution right throughout her life, okay? That's all she needed. She fulfilled every other basic need. Not just that, but she actually made herself famous in terms of her humility and so on and so forth. So through those two, she fulfilled every other basic need. And for me, I feel as Christians, those are the ones that we might need. We are all along the scale here somewhere, okay? Significance, whatever, whatever. But at the end of the day, if we aim for those two, love and contribution, we will actually fulfill every other need in a good, healthy way. Because there are healthy ways of fulfilling these needs, and there are unhealthy ways of fulfilling our needs, okay? So that is the big why. Why are we doing whatever we're doing? Whatever. Okay, is linked back to here. It's the very core of who we are and what's driving us and why we are doing things. So that's a bit of a glossary over that. Then the second thing is, that's the why, this is the how. And the how would be what James spoke about, our strengths. He had all those 34 strengths and went through quite a few of them. Those are our giftings that I spoke about, our areas of favor, where people come and say, how do you do that? You know, that was amazing, you know. And that is the how. We employ the why is what we need, our basic needs. The how, the next thing is, what are our giftings? Where are our areas of favor? And finally, the what is not really important, okay? Although a lot of people get totally stuck and jammed in the what. Absolutely, totally stuck. It's like, this thing is not working. I can't make this thing work. This is not working out. I'm jammed up here. And they're just focusing on that. But actually, that is not important. Because if you understand the why, okay, that there is a need that's needs that are driving you. Number two, if you understand that whatever you do, if you want to fulfill those needs in a healthy way, you use your giftings and your talents to do whatever. Okay? You can do whatever you want to do. Okay? The boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Okay? You can do all things through Christ. Okay? Okay? This is not just Christian. This is everybody. Okay? This is everybody. Now, I'll give you a little example of how you can get stuck in the what, okay? So like, in terms of my personal situation, I'm just gonna give you a short, I'm not gonna go into all the details, but, I'm in the property market. About 6 years ago in September, I think you all know the property market went donk. It crashed, okay? I had a whole lot of, houses and pieces of land up in the Hillcrest area, Assagai, and I got totally jammed up there. All my assets were locked in there. The bank on my back, trying to pay the bank, just not happening. Even today, we still pray. Today, this afternoon, myself and Jolene prayed specifically for our property development thing. And I tell you something. When that happened, I was just absolutely consumed with this. I've got to pay them. I can't do. Everything's locked in. What am I going to do? And I used to sit in the lounge on a leather chair and just stare out the window day after day, like just absolutely consumed, but also I think self-pity, I think immobilized, lack of resources, my life situation just immobilized me, apathetic, discouraged, and my kids would see me like that when they left for school, and then when they got back from school, they'd come back and I'm still in the same place, looking out the same window outside, and it's like, you know, Mom, what's wrong with Dad? What's happening? You know? And I got to the point where I was like, I'm so focused. It's like, God, what is happening? What, you know, what are you doing about this? What the heck are you doing? And I remember getting extremely angry, shouting, and carrying on, okay? And then I felt God say, no, wait, what are you doing about this? Never mind what am I, what can you do about this? You know, asking me a question. What are you doing about this? What can you do about this? And it's like, well, I can't do anything about the situation I'm in right now. I'm jammed. God said, yeah, exactly. And you've spoken to me about it, and I've got that all covered, okay? So why aren't you just moving on with this thing now? Okay, there's lots of other things you can do. Why are you just, you're just wallowing in self-pity? And it's like, what? You know, this is hectic. It's affected my whole life, and what? And then God just said, yeah, well, that's fine, but there's lots of other things you can do. You've got a huge amount to be thankful for. Go and get a pen and a book. And start writing down your dreams and things that you love doing. Because I gave you a dream for this season. I've given you, I put stuff in your heart for this very season that you can do all things, okay? What you are doing is not important. It's why you're doing them and how you're doing them. That's important. It's not what you're doing. You can do anything you want. And actually that really does to change my situation. It brought life to the surface, and it changed. From there on, things started improving, not in the natural, but in me and my ability to handle my situation and to carry on living and impacting the world around me, okay? And I don't really want to go into the detail of this, but it's simple. If you've got a dream or a focus or a goal, and your life condition doesn't allow you to do that, if you clear on the how, on the why and the how, and you're using this, you can just go and start writing down the things that you are excited about, the things that you're passionate about, the things that you love doing. Start writing them down, and very soon you'll start getting excited. Because you can change your blueprints, you can change your focus, you can change that dream. Okay, and you can do something else, because there are many things that we can do. And later on, you can always come back to that one. Nobody says that you know, that's it forever and a day. But we don't let it stop us. We'll move on, and we'll do whatever we can to grow and to bring life to the world around us. Because you see, growth is also another essential need. If we don't grow, we die. There's no in between. There's no standing still. If we stand still, we are actually dying. Okay? To grow, we need to move forward. And moving forward is our choice. We choose to move forward. We choose to leave behind the stuff that we can't deal with, that only God can deal with. And the moment we start moving ahead and choose to leave that behind, we'll see some amazing things happening. God starts working with those things behind our back. And then all of a sudden we turn around and it's like, what the heck? Because we're not focused by that anymore. We're not consumed by that anymore. But we're moving on, and there's life in what we're doing. And so I felt tonight that there were a couple of us who kind of maybe a bit stuck. Maybe our dream hasn't turned out the way that we want it to. Maybe life conditions have changed. Maybe resources. We don't have the resources right now. But I think the question is, do you want to move forward? And God said to me that I've got permission to dream. He said, I give you permission to dream again. And I say for us, we've got permission to always dream new dreams. And blame and self-pity are never an option. But understanding the why and working with the how means that the what is totally flexible and that you can do whatever you want to do. Okay? That's not working. I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that. I can do many things. And a good way to change the attitude, atmosphere, whatever, is you can change your focus, you can change your attitude, your talk, your physiology, and you'll see the whole situation will change. If you change the way you talk, even like Steve's done a whole lot of stuff on faith prayer, prayers of faith, okay, praying what you see. And thank you God for, I'm really enjoying living, you know, in a debt-free business where everything's paid, you know, and I have extra resources that I can go and bless other people. Thank you God. I'm really enjoying, seeing my brother back to full health and that he's got full use of all his faculties. Thank you God. And we just start changing our attitude rather than the self-pity. We change the whole atmosphere. Okay. We change our focus. We change everything. So I feel that we need to maybe for you guys, just hear what God is saying tonight. I think in the worship, God is going to speak to us. God wants us to have a positive impact on our entire sphere of influence. He wants us to bring life to all those that come into contact with us. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come to bring life to overflowing. And we have the same mission statement that Jesus does. We've come to bring life and life to overflowing. Where the devil comes and kills, we bring life. Where he steals, we freely give. Where he destroys, we rebuild. And so, yeah, I just felt that God wants to maybe recommission some people tonight. Just maybe whisper some new things. Or maybe speak loudly some new things over our lives. And I think, what story are we telling ourselves? Does our story line up with God's story? Because God is an eternal, never-ending story, and His is the true story. What story do we tell ourselves? Is it the true story? Does it line up with God's story? If not, maybe it's time that we changed our story. And if we change our story, how would that impact our lives right now and our ability to be people who bring life and who are able to walk in all those things that God prepared way in advance for us to do. So we can hear those words, you know. We're going to hear those words anyway, but we want a full inheritance. God has got a huge inheritance for us, and He wants us to arrive with a full basket of fruit. He wants us to arrive with our full inheritance, not just standing there saying, oh God, thank you for everything, but you know, it's a pity that, you know, that I've only got half my basket of fruit, because actually, you know, I don't know what happened. So, yeah, I think in the worship, let's just hear what God's saying. I know God wants to speak to us tonight. I know God's got something to say to each and every single one of us. So let's just meditate. Let's just open ourselves and let our dad speak to us. He's got our future in His hands, and we can choose to work with Him in this generation, in this city that He's placed us, so that we can bring life wherever we go. Amen. Amen.